and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so aware that your word must be spoken to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so I ask you this morning that as I share your word, that your Spirit would open up our hearts and help us to hear it and help us to catch the promise of it. Oh Lord, grant it today, we pray, that there might be joy in tithing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about the subject of joy in tithing. Maybe because it sounds like an oxymoron. You know, joy, tithing. But as you'll hear later, one of the guys who shares a testimony a little bit later says, you know, then we start having fun. We start even giving over the tithe. Now we start having fun. Say, fun? Why? And I want to talk about that and try to help you understand. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 starts out, the Lord do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Then verse 7 talks about repentance and returning back to the place in the Lord. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? This is the question of a person who says, what am I doing that's so wrong that you aren't with me anymore, or you're not listening to me the way that I hoped you would, or why? And verse 8 answers the question in a very blunt sort of way. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now, I've thought about that, and what does that mean? The implications of verse 8 are these. First of all, God is the actual owner of the tithe. Otherwise, withholding a tithe, a 10% gift to God, withholding a tithe wouldn't be robbing unless he owned it in the first place. The scripture says the tithe is the Lord's, whether we give it to him or not. And the Israelites had a problem because God's money was burning a hole in their pocket. And they were just kind of shining it on. And their character had a problem. Then verse 9 is kind of a scary verse. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Now, other preachers would linger there, but I won't, okay? Verse 10. This is the answer to the problem. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The purpose of the tithe is so that there might be food in God's house, or his household. Now, what does that mean? The house of God in the day that Malachi wrote was the temple in Jerusalem. And the household of God were the high priest, the priest that served, the Levites that served. And so he literally meant that there might be food in my house. In the temple is a storeroom. And if you can see in this picture, the main axis of the temple is here, and the storerooms are on the side, all the way around the storerooms. And in the storerooms, they put food, they put treasures of one kind or another that people had brought to the Lord. That was the storehouse that they were bringing it to. And out of that, then, was paid the support of the ministry. Now you have one tribe that wasn't given any land in Israel at all, and their inheritance was the tithe. People would bring 10% of their cattle or their sheep or their wheat or whatever it was to Jerusalem, to the storehouse, and that would then provide for the needs of the priests and the Levites. The priests themselves would pay a tithe of the tithe, so the high priest would have enough to live on. And that's how God took care of the ministry in those days, support of the ministry. Now, the second part of verse 10 is really amazing. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Windows of heaven is the image in the Hebrew. And so I guess God does windows for 10%. Not for 5%, 10%. He does windows. And the image here is he opens the windows of heaven and he just pours out. This afternoon they have flood warnings in Vacaville. And on TV news last night, they were sandbagging all their garages and getting ready for this because they're expecting an inch and a half of rain in Sacramento in this storm that's coming up. Well, the image here is God opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing larger than we have enough room for it. Now, how much blessing would it take for you to get to the point where you didn't have enough room for it? Just a thought. Because God's promise here is very interesting. This is the only time that I know of in Scripture where we are invited to test God. Most of the time we're told, don't test the Lord your God. But in this one instance, he says, check me out. See if I won't do this for you. And so I ask you, what would be a test of God in the area of tithing in your life? If you want to see if this is true, that God will bless you beyond your capacity to receive, try it. The only way you'll know if this is true for you is to try it, and God invites you to give it a try. Someone said, you can't outgive God. You know, I think that's true. As we give to God, our ability to give is so puny compared to his ability to give back. It isn't a fair deal. There was a farmer who used to give to church more than all the other farmers practically combined. And they said to him, well, why is it that you can give so much more than we can? And he said, well, I just keep shoveling into God's bin. And he keeps shoveling into my bin, and his shovel is bigger. Jesus told a story like that in Luke chapter 6, 38. He said, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, let me give you the picture of this. It's hard to do in a man's suit. Well, my notes are going to fall out, so you get spared the picture. But back in those days, they wore dresses, guys. And the lap was you'd kind of hold up your skirt. And there's a lot of place that you could put stuff in it there. That means he's going to fill up your lap. That's what that means. I mean, we don't get it, guys, but that's women know about these things. You can put a lot of stuff in that place. So, now, my mom taught me how to cook, and she said, sift the flour. And when you sift it, don't shake it, because then it won't be light and airy. You want the light and airy cake, right? Right, women? Jesus says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, my mom also taught me that when you measure brown sugar, you're supposed to pack it in there tight. That's how you measure brown sugar. That's the way Jesus gives out his blessings, like brown sugar. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your skirt, so to speak. I like the promises of God. Now, verse 11, we're back to Malachi. I'm sort of jumping all over here. Verse 11, he says, I will rebuke the devourer, in the King James Version. I will prevent pests from destroying your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. On the next slide, you can see what a swarm of locusts looks like. And back in those days, they would have, I mean, millions and millions and millions of locusts that would fly around looking for food. And if they landed on your field, you were dead meat, because that was the end of your field. They would eat it down completely. Have you ever had financial setbacks? I remember having to replace all the tires on my car. I sold film at the Rose Parade one year in order to get new tires for my car because I didn't have the money for them, but I lived in Pasadena and I sold film and I had enough money to buy a new set of tires. You know, things happen. But if enough things happen, the setbacks, the financial setbacks, are tough. There's a promise here from God for tithers. That is, he is going to protect us and watch out for what we have. Now, don't turn there, but I'm going to be turning in our minds to the book of Haggai. It's too small to find this early in the morning. Haggai chapter 1, I put it on the screen for you. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Ever felt like that? You bring in the paycheck, and it looks like, where did it all go? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house. He's talking about the temple here. Build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. Back in 537 B.C., the temple that Solomon had built was destroyed. And so the people came back, 587 B.C. They came back in 537 and soon started work on the temple, but finished their houses, and really the temple went a long time before it was finished. He says, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. I read that because it gives me a picture of what life is like without the blessing of the Lord. I need the blessing of the Lord. Otherwise, stuff can happen, money just goes away. And dear friends, one of the promises of God is that if we tithe, he will superintend our situation so that he takes care of us and blesses us rather than it all just blowing away. Now I'm back to Malachi again. Malachi chapter 3. This is the 12th verse, and I like this verse. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Last September, I drove through rural Minnesota, and it looked like this picture. And I thought, what a wonderful land, and what a rich land. And to me, it was a picture of the blessing of God. So we looked at Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 12. Now I want to just give you a brief history of the tithe so you can kind of figure out where this all fits. Actually, people were tithing in the ancient Near East before the Bible takes up its narrative with Abraham. But Abraham tithed. If you remember, he went and rescued his nephew Lot and then brought back a whole bunch of spoils of war. When he came by Jerusalem, it turns out that the king of Jerusalem was a priest of the Most High God named Melchizedek. And the scripture says Abraham gave one-tenth to Melchizedek. Why? Because Melchizedek was a priest of God. And Abraham tithed as a way of honoring God, because God is the one that had helped him. Then we see Jacob having a dream. Do you remember he had his pillow was a stone, and he lay down there in Bethel and had a dream of the angels ascending and descending from heaven. And when he woke up in the morning, he said, "This is surely God's house, Bethel. And whatever I receive, I will give a tenth to you." He tithed. In the Mosaic Law, we see a number of provisions for tithing. They were an agricultural, rural people with cattle and sheep, and later on raised food, and it explains how to tithe. It explains this was the inheritance of the priests and the Levites, as I mentioned. It's interesting, in Deuteronomy there's a passage that says that they are to use some of the tithe to feed the poor in their towns. That this is one of the ways that God wants to help take care of the poor. A very fascinating passage I found in 1 Samuel 8, verse 17. The people want a king. Samuel says, "Hey, God's our king." And so Samuel recites to them some of the things that the king expects, and one of them is 10%. And I thought about that. 10%, why? Scripture says, in that case, to take care of his officers and those that administer his kingdom. Why do we tithe to God? Because God is our king. And he uses that tithe for those that administer his affairs here on earth. So tithing is related to acknowledging God as king. At least that's my understanding of it. I was quite interested to see that twice in the history that's shown us in the Scripture, tithing had a great deal to do with revival and renewal. In the time of Hezekiah, things were kind of messed up, and the temple was in disrepair. Few priests were able to serve. Same thing happened in the time of Nehemiah a few hundred years later. Let me read for you Hezekiah's command out of 2 Chronicles 31:5. Hezekiah ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil and honey, and all the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe, of everything. And so the result then was significant. Whereas not many priests had been able to serve, and so that the work of God was kind of in great decline, the blessing of obedience is that since people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare, because the Lord has blessed his people, and this great amount is left over. So not only do we see God's work starting to take place because the priests and Levites can now serve in that way rather than have to take care of their own, you know, food for their family, now people have brought it in, and the result is God blesses the people that bring it in. Same principle. In Nehemiah's day, let me read from Nehemiah 13:10. I also learned, this is the problem, that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, that all the Levites and singers responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, "Why is the house of God neglected?" And I called them together and stationed them at their posts, And all Judah brought tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storerooms. Nehemiah 10:37. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, the fruit of all our trees, and of our new wine and oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. If you look in the New Testament, you know Jesus was hard on the Pharisees. You remember that? I mean, I'd hate to be a Pharisee around Jesus because he just lit into them. But he commended them on one thing. They tithe. Let me read it to you. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth or a tithe of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former, that is, tithing. Now, as I studied this, one of the things I found that was fascinating to me is this principle of the tithe being used to help the ministers serve in God's work is carried over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 9:13 and 14. I've got it up on the screen. Paul writes, "Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Same principle. Now, some people you meet say, well, tithing was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We're not under law, and we aren't under law. We're not under the Mosaic law. But the principles in the Old Testament remain. The principles remain. I really believe, and I'm going to talk about it next week some, there is a law of sowing and reaping that God put into the universe. And God didn't suspend the law when the New Testament came. I mean, the principle of operation, it's still in effect. I had a professor in seminary who said this, "To give less under grace than under law is a disgrace." I like that. Deuteronomy 8:17. "Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, so that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your ancestors as He is doing so today." I want us to take about 3 or 4 minutes and listen to testimonies of a couple of folks in our congregation that shared about tithing the last couple of weeks. And we put it on video for you. First, Paul Nystrom, and then Paul Johnson. I expect there are 100 stories like that in this congregation, maybe more, of how you've tested God and tried God and found that God's faithful. Let's go over the principles of tithing. Everything we have comes from God. The first tenth belongs to God. The tithe is the Lord's, not ours. It is a way of acknowledging God as King over us. And there is a promise of an overflowing blessing. Now, in your bulletin, I'd like you to dig in your bulletin and find two items. Find the pink sheet and find the yellow bookmark here. I want you to take a look at those. This bookmark is designed as a way for you to indicate your commitment to God to make God a full partner in your finances. I don't want you to write anything on it. Next week, during the communion service, we're going to have a dedication of those. We're not going to turn them in to the church, but we're going to bring them before God and dedicate to God what our faith commitment is. And there are various ways. We'll talk about this next week a little bit more. And God will guide you, and I want you to pray about it this week. God, what do you want me to do? I mean, God has a way of speaking to hearts, and he's doing that this morning. What do you want me to do, God? And then indicated on this, we'll commit it to God, and then we'll see what God will do. God, you can't outgive God. The second thing is a quiz. This is a test. So what I want you to do, you might do this over dinner or something like that today. Go through the quiz together as a family, and then it has the answers, just to make sure you find the right answers. And in the back bottom side of this, there is a percentage giving calculation chart. So from this, you can rather easily tell right now, if you're not tithing yet, you can see, you know, what you're giving is on a percentage basis, just on a rough idea. I did the math with my Excel spreadsheet, so you don't have to. But it just gives you an idea of what it is that you're currently giving. Now, I want to talk briefly about three common hindrances to tithing. The first hindrance is that our lifestyle has put us as a nation, and probably as Rockland and Roseville, into huge consumer debt. I mean, a lot of folks are mortgaged up to their nose and have to use little straws to be able to breathe. Your wife looks electrifying tonight, one man said to another. She ought to look electrifying. Everything she has on is charged, said her husband. Then there's a little boy whose mommy gave him 2 quarters for Sunday school. And he runs down the street with his quarters in his hand, and one of them falls down and goes into the storm drain. And he looks up and he says, "Lord, sorry, there went your quarter." That's sometimes how we respond, I think, that if we lose something, that's God's money that's gone. But his money comes off the top. So lifestyle and debt is one of the hindrances. And later on this year, we're going to be having a workshop on finances so that you can work through some of this. If this is a need in your life, we're going to have some material to help you with that. The second one is fear. Fear that if I tithe, I won't be able to make ends meet. Now, my guess is that most of you, at one time in your life or another, have had this fear. It's not an uncommon fear. And I just want to encourage you, push past your fear, because God is able to help you. The third hindrance that's common is a possessiveness or greed or materialism that keeps us from being generous with God. You know, there's a story about a guy that, when he was a young man, he came to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, you know, I want to learn how to give." And the pastor says, "Well, how much are you making a week?" He says, $80. The pastor says, "Well, you take 10% of that $8, and put it in the offering plate. That's tithing." And the man was prospered and blessed, and so he started making more money. He became a millionaire and a multimillionaire, and he finally came to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor," he says, "God's blessed me and prospered me, but a 10% of what I make is just huge. I can't give that much." God spoke to the pastor, and the pastor spoke to the man and said, "Well, tell you what, let's pray together, and we'll ask God to reduce your salary so that you can afford to give." You know, if you feel angry at me for talking about money this morning, my guess is that this third one's kind of caught you. Because, I mean, I understand this. See, I've been there. We can kind of hold on to what's ours, and it can keep us from being generous with God. Okay, we're almost done. 2 reasons why tithing is vital to your self-interest. The first one is, tithing is a matter of discipleship. I am thoroughly convinced that if you're not tithing yet, you can't grow spiritually in all the ways God wants you to grow until you cross that barrier. I mean, it's not a magic number. It's just, it's a discipline that disciples do, that disciples give. And if you felt like there's been a kind of a spiritual lid on your jar, that could be it. For your sake, and for the sake of your spiritual life, tithing can be a blessing. If Christ is not the Lord of your finances, how can He be the Lord of your life? And the second reason is there is a blessing that is vital to your life. There is a blessing. When I was a young assistant pastor, the pastor of the church, senior pastor, told me a story I've never forgotten about a missionary who had worked with this primitive people for, I don't know, 20 years, and the missionary was about ready to retire. And one night God spoke to him and said, "You can't leave yet. You haven't taught them to tithe." And the missionary started arguing with God, and he says, "God, these people are just utterly poor. They are dirt poor. They can't afford to tithe. I mean, my needs have been met by people back in the States. I can't bring myself to teach them to tithe." God says, "You do it." So he got up there and he started teaching them about tithing, probably with tears running down his face, because he knew how poor they were. And they responded. And some of them would, you know, they'd bring an egg, or they'd bring a chicken, or they'd bring some of the crops that weren't doing too well, and they'd bring them to the missionary's house. And the missionary had a tough time because he knew how much they had to sacrifice to do that. But what he found was that as they started tithing, God started blessing them. And their chickens had more eggs. And their crops grew better. And their cattle started reproducing, and their herd started getting bigger. And God started blessing. Dear friends, tithing is a matter of discipleship. And if we want to grow in Jesus Christ, we've got to learn how to do that. And secondly, there is a blessing in tithing that God has for you. Next week we're going to be looking at the universal law of sowing and reaping. And I want to encourage you to take home the materials, particularly that bookmark, and pray about it. Next week we'll have a dedication of those before the Lord. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? You may be here and maybe you're new to us, maybe you're a visitor and we're glad you're here, and you say, "Well, the church is just talking about money." I don't think that's what this is, but if God's spoken to your heart, maybe He's talking to you today about giving your life to Him. And dear friends, that's the most important thing you can give. I want to encourage you, as we pray, you dedicate your life to Him. God will take care of this money stuff. Let's pray. Father, we thank You because You are faithful. Faithful beyond our imagination. I pray for each man and woman, for each young person, each family unit, each single person who's here, oh God, and is trying to work through their own understanding and faith this matter of tithing. I pray, oh Lord, that You would speak to our hearts and open us up so that we can be blessed, and we give You thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.